This meeting is now being recorded.
Saturday, March 11th, 2017. Community engagement.
Okay, welcome everybody. This is an open session of the ICANN board. We're going to talk about anti-harassment policy. And just want to remind you that in the sake of constant improvement, we look at anti-harassment as well. To remind you that it's not only about sexual harassment, but beyond that, it's the wide range of harassment that can happen, as you've read in the proposals. The code of conduct is a good example of what we try to do already to move that. And this session is about anti-harassment policy, for which there has been a public consultation. Consultation has ended the medium of January. The results have been looked at, and at the end of this session, I'd like to take a straw poll to see whether we're ready to take a vote at this at the public agenda on Thursday, and for board members to be prepared to say whether you're ready or not for that. So with that, I'd like to give the word to John Jeffrey.
And although this is John Jeffrey, although I'm listed as the responsible staff person, this has moved from a legal project in the initial drafting over to a community process as we've gone through comment periods. And so David Olive will lead the discussion.
Thank you. David?
Thank you very much, Martin. John Jeffries and members of the board. If we could go to the next slide. In framing this issue, the board is being asked to adopt the community's anti-harassment policy, which sets out how participants in the ICANN community are expected to behave when participating in ICANN's multi-stakeholder processes, as well as a complaint and handling procedure for when community members feel that someone has been violating the policy. The next slide, please. The inputs requested here are whether the board, in looking at this issue, feels that the proposed resolution takes into account of the public comments, and there was a discussion with community leaders before this, as well as during an official public comment process in general, and specifically regarding the role of the ombudsman in the evaluation of complaints filed under the policy. And then finally, whether or not they're ready to adopt this community anti-harassment policy. Next frame slide, please. In terms of the public comment process, at the time this report was prepared, 14 community submissions were posted to the forum, and they're listed here as we do in the summary. And in addition to these 14, another submission did come into our attention by the Center for Internet and Society, CIS, and all these comments were reviewed by the team and taken into account as they prepared the new anti-harassment policy that is being presented for your review. Next slide, please. Additional considerations for the board to look at would be how to make sure that this policy is kept in the attention of the community in terms of either an awareness campaign or education via online or at ICANN meetings, and also to make well known that the communication of this anti-harassment policy includes the ICANN organization, the ICANN community, and the ICANN board. Next slide, please. Therefore, the organization recommends that the board adopt this anti-harassment policy as revised. It addresses the concerns that were raised by ICANN 55 and commitments made by the board to address this in an efficient and effective manner. It was done almost quickly to revise the standards of behavior and then into this new policy that's being presented today. We think this sets out an expected behavior and a complaint handling procedure as indicated by many of the comments and the experts we consulted. Next comment, next slide, please. The other issue relates to continuing monitoring by the Office of the Ombudsman as an appropriate place to file community complaints, and this should be looked at periodically to make sure that that is the right approach, or if it needs to be changed, modified, or refined. And finally, regular reviews, should it be annual or not, to make sure that that we are keeping the policy active and well-informed, and to see if there are needed enhancements as we go forward. Next slide, please. So, Martin, I just wanted to give those major points. I turn it over to you for leading the discussion with our board members on this important proposal.
Thank you, David, for this summary. Any questions from board members? Steve, may I give you the word?
Thank you, Martin, and thank you very much, David. This is looks like a very well-organized step forward, and we've been watching this for a while. What do we know about actual experience? How many complaints are there? Is there any trends? Is there any? I mean, I think most of us are familiar with what started this process a while ago, but I, speaking for myself at least, have not been hearing very much, so I don't know how active this is. So in the question of how often to review, for example, if it's coming fast and furious, then we need to review frequently, and if it's hardly coming at all, then a slower frequency.
Thank you, Steve. I think that would be the process will then be put in place to look at this and having an early alert system to see in terms of tracking the complaints, the levels, and the like, so that we'll be able to have a better picture for this once this new policy is in place.
Do we have any data accumulated in recent past?
John?
This is John Jeffrey. We've not accumulated specific data to answer that question, but we're aware of a number of complaints over the last two or three meetings. So it's not a completely isolated, you know, it's not a one incident kind of thing. We're seeing a trend toward having those sorts of complaints be more awareness of those types of complaints in the community and an acceptance that we are paying more attention to it. So we think the use of this policy will provide a forum for people to make those complaints if those issues are in the community.
Okay, thank you. Next on the list is George.
Yeah, thanks. David, you had a bullet early on in your slide deck which said that the policy includes what I can't staff board and somebody, I think another group too. I would have assumed that, and I have no problem with that, but I wonder why you felt necessary to call that out specifically. Is there something to be read between the lines?
No, I think in terms of ICANN org people, we have our own internal policies, and we didn't want to think that somehow it was separated from that, so it includes everybody.
Thank you. Shireen?
Shireen Chalabi for the record. So basically, you asked us here to consider two resolutions. The first one is to adopt the community anti-harassment policy. And the second one is to direct the president, CEO, or designee to ensure that the organization continues to monitor whether the office of the ombudsperson is the appropriate place for community members to file a complaint. So my question was more about the second resolution. And two questions is, do we have an experience that you can share with us in terms of other organizations doing similar things, nonprofits? Where do complaints go? Do they go to the ombudsperson? And like George, do I read between the line here is that there are pros and cons of using the ombudsperson as the appropriate place for community members to file complaints, or is just a a cautious thing to say that we will do it this way and we will monitor. So two parts to my question. One is, do you have comparison with other organizations? And B, is there something between the lines, some pros and cons, or is it just a cautious thing to say? Thank you.
George, you want to react first, add to that before we give it to David? David.
I think the issue here was using our existing somewhat independent, if you will, independent third party system there. Some places use other types of trusted person systems, and so the question would be what's the most appropriate one. But to quickly implement this policy, we wanted to use our existing ombudsman system to move forward.
Okay, thank you. Is this on the same point? Otherwise, we go to Lucia.
On the same point.
Okay,
yeah,
please.
I want to join with Shireen in expressing some concern about the ombudsperson being the active settler of these concerns. And it's not only here, but when you listen to the accountability group, whenever something comes up where somebody has to make a decision independent of ICANN, let's give it to the ombudsman. And the ombudsman has a relatively pure role right now, and it's a trusted role. And I'm very concerned that if we start loading all kinds of things on the ombudsman, that the ability of him to function in his primary role is going to be compromised in some way. So I think we ought to think very carefully before loading the ombuds job description with many other things. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucie.
Thank you. I just wanted to flag two points. The first is for our incoming new board member, is that anti-harassment training is one of the two mandatory trainings under California law that all new incoming board members have to follow within 6 weeks, that one and fighting corruption. So I thought it was actually a couple of hours online extremely well spent. It was interesting because it comes up with very concrete case studies and it shows you how to act and behave in specific cases. So I thought it was really helpful. And as we go forward and talk about awareness raising, this is actually a very useful resource that parts of the community and community members could also have access to, since we already have that. The second thing is I'd like to make a connection with the work that's going on in Workstream 2 on diversity, for which I am the board liaison. There's an ambition to make the ICANN community as diverse as possible, and that includes making sure that people from different cultural backgrounds, people who are not necessarily steeped in the ICANN culture, feel welcome. And I think this will be an extremely important part of making sure that everybody feels included no matter what their background is. And so I'm really encouraged with this, and I think the key thing is to make sure it's not just a piece of paper, but that we start implementing it. So I think the interesting bit will come in the awareness raising and in the actual application.
Thank you very much. This is why also the thought of how we would further with education is something to pursue and to follow up on. Appreciate it. Khaled, you're still up? Okay, and you want to react directly on this?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. John Jeffrey, directly on this.
Just to elaborate a little bit more on what Lucivi said, it's not actually neither of those are actually mandatory under California law, either the anti-bribery or the anti-harassment. They're good practices.
The impression was created I had to do them, so that was a really good impression because I thought I have to do this within six weeks or I'm off the board.
So we do them as a best practice, so the board members all do them. If you manage employees in California, specifically have a management role, then there is a mandatory requirement, but usually not a requirement that's placed on board members.
Thank you for the clarification. I actually appreciated the course as well. Further on the list, we have Khaled, Chris, Marcus, Ram, and Shireen again, I think. No, Ram. First is Khaled, and then Chris, and then...
Thank you, Martin. So I'm so happy to see in the wording of the policy a very clear mention that it's a condition to participate in the ICANN multi-stakeholder process, and I hope that ICANN.org will be able to implement this in a very strong process. Including, we can imagine that all the participants will certify online while registering on the event that they have read this anti-harassment policy. My question, in fact, will go on the same line than George, which is, in fact, I would like to see more thinking about other mechanism of mitigating the any problem of harassment rather than the ombudsman. Probably if we can have other scenario on the plan, so it would be good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Chris?
Thanks, Martin. Two things. Just on the ombudsman, I think we currently have a sort of ombudsman in flux situation. We have an interim ombudsman. We're adding to the duties of the ombudsman in respect to the new bylaws for reconsideration requests. We're building out the ombudsman's office to cope with that, and we are awaiting the community's workstream 2 work on what the ombudsman's role should look like, and there's an independent review of that. So I agree that it may not be the right place. Equally, it may be that one solution would be to put something underneath the auspices of the ombudsman's office, but have it as a separate, specific thing for dealing with any harassment claims. But we certainly need to think about it. At the moment, I think we would we need to do some work to make sure the ombudsman isn't overloaded with things to do. And on the question on or the point about the video training thing that we all do, Lucy V's mentioned it as a resource. Is it a resource that we can make available to the community? Because if it is a resource that we can make available to the community, then perhaps that's something that we should simply do. If it's sort of like huge impost on cost or something, that's a different thing. But if we can make it available on a sort of voluntary basis for people to look at and go through, we should do that. Thanks.
Yes, I think that's a question we're not going to be able to answer concretely here, but maybe it's good if that can be considered, Jeroen, what can be done there, what's reasonable for a future occasion.
We can look into that.
Thank you. Good. Thanks, Chris. Marcus.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm very pleased that we come to closure with this issue. It was just about a year after it was triggered off for an incident in a Marrakesh meeting, and I think it's the right thing to do, and it was actually remarkably short time that within a year we have a policy in place. I have a question. Will there be female staff available to listen to complaints by female community members, as these issues can be quite sensitive, and I can imagine that will provide some comfort. And lastly, a strong support to Chris's suggestions for making the course available. Like others, I found it extremely well done, and I think it will be helpful if community leaders could also undergo that training. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ram?
Thank you, Martin. Raising awareness of the anti-harassment policy is a very important objective and is definitely the right place to start. What I would like to dig a little deeper on is to understand what metrics of success we intend to establish. How do we plan to measure the effectiveness of this policy once adopted? Because what I think we have to make sure is, and as others have said, that this is not just something we simply pass a resolution on, but that we measure effectiveness of the implementation.
Thank you. I see nodding going on in the room. Appreciate the point made. Shireen?
So going back to the ombudsperson point, my understanding that he was asked about his workload and the current ombudsperson, and the ombudsperson said that the current workload is reasonable and can take on this extra task. I think we are raising different questions about the about that process itself. But from my perspective, I would not wish to hold back this resolution, but we really want you to hear from us that this is something that you need to look into. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very well heard. Lito.
Thank you, Martin.
I was going to ask David. In slide number 5, he says, should ICANN actively promote the IT harassment policy, and it relates to the awareness campaign and so on. If this is a question, I'm not sure, I would say yes, please do. Like in the new conversation or other ways of making aware our community of this anti-harassment policy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And then Jonah, and then Rina. Yeah,
thank you. So 2 points. First of all, and as what Lito said, I completely support that as well. And I think this is actually something that has been implicitly supported by others also, saying that the anti-harassment training should be also promoted, so in a way that I think that gives you guidance on that. Coming back to what the discussion about the role of ombudsman and what Shireen said, I just wanted to be very explicit on that as well. In my opinion, we shouldn't wait with this policy and adopt it now and then fix it later when we find, so to say, bugs. I think that in our experience, what has happened before is that even in the absence of this policy, these would naturally go to the ombudsman anyways. So not adopting this policy wouldn't actually lower his workload or that person's workload. So I think that we should just adopt this and then fix when we find a better place maybe in the future.
Appreciate it, Rinalia.
Rinalia speaking. I support the adoption of this policy on anti-harassment, and I think the ombudsperson is the right body to handle it for the moment until we are advised that it should go to another body. Our ombudsperson at the moment is male. In case there is a case that involves females who may not be comfortable dealing with a male ombudsperson, is there a possibility that there are alternate individuals that the complainant can go to? As I recall, during the discussions on Workstream 2, enhancing ICANN's accountability, there was discussion on enhancing the capacity of the ombudsman of ICANN. And I think that it would be good if the office were expanded, that we were to consider gender diversity. Thank you.
Thank you. On that note, Asha.
Thank you, Martin. So going back to what Rinalia just mentioned, this is Asha Hemrajani for the record. Going back to what Rinalia just mentioned, what the Workstream 2 subgroup on ombudsman function is looking at is not referring to this as an ombudsman, but rather the office of the ombudsman. So it's very possible in its review that the subgroup recommends an expansion of the function to an office, and then there'll be multiple people in that office, including possible females. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Akinori.
Yes, I'm actually supporting the Rinari and Asha's points that I think that the position who deal with this anti-harassment and harassment problem is should be the ombudsperson there. And then, because this is a problem of the gender, then the ombudsperson office should be gender neutral. Then, if we can employ someone female, if it is missed, then it would be great to have the ombudsperson office to deal with this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Then towards the end of the session, I'd like to make a short summary of the sense of the board. I'm sorry? Oh, Becky, sorry.
I just want to respond, Becky Burr speaking, to the comments regarding having a woman available. It seems to me, rather than we don't know what's going to happen with the recommendations from Workstream 2, and there may not be two people in the ombuds office. It would be interesting to have staff, as they're looking around for other organizations or more appropriate placement, to think about having options available as part of that process.
Very clear point, mate. Are you still up? Yes,
thank you. And just to say that if there's no immediate option, then perhaps someone from ICANN HR could support. Thank you.
John, do you want to react on that?
Yeah, so it is contemplated that if there is an issue of gender other than the ombudsman's current gender, whoever the ombudsman is at that time, that we would supplement that with HR staff that could assist.
Thank you. I think it's clear that on this, the ombudsman and how to process that is to be further resolved. We've heard a couple of ideas. It's clear that for sure we should make sure there's also access to female persons to deal with harassment complaints when they come in. I think there was a general support for also the idea of training and awareness, and Jeroen is going to look into what we can do to support that. And there was a request for measuring the effectiveness of this policy. I guess this comes with the review that we would foresee as well. Now, take into account that this all is part of the motion. Would you be prepared to take the motion on Thursday? That's basically the request. Shireen, last remark.
John, JJ, would it be appropriate, given the comment made about having someone from HR supporting in the event that there's a concern, to amend the second resolution to mention that? Would that be an appropriate thing to do?
We could certainly do that.
Good. Okay.
I think that would be appreciated. So taking that into account, are we ready to talk about policy on Thursday? Please say whether you're ready or not. Ron, you're first next to me.
Yes, I'm ready.
Yes? I have to say my name. Rinali Abdurrahim says yes.
I say yes.
That was George. He said yes, and this is Becky. I say yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's efficient going around the room. Sorry, this is Ludovic. Of course, yes.
I don't have a vote, but I say yes anyways.
That was Yone.
I didn't say yes.
Marcus speaking, yes.
Asha Hemrajani, yes.
This is Chris, yes.
Lito Ibarra, yes.
I can remember, says yes.
Unquestionably. Excuse me, unquestionably.
Shireen, yes. And this is a straw poll, so the liaison can say what they want to say in a straw poll, although they can't vote.
And we can change our minds, right?
This is Ram Mohan, non-voting liaison, but definitely yes.
Okay, it looks like we have a point for the agenda on Thursday. Thank you all for your active participation. Thank you, David and John, for preparing this very well. And thanks, Jeroen, for your willingness to follow up as well. So with this, the session is closed.